Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. We don't have a full-fledged theory of justice totally spelled out with Epicurus as we do with many other philosophers, in part because we only possess a few of his works in the present out of the many works that he wrote. But we do have some important discussions of justice, primarily occurring in his principal doctrines towards the end of them, but with a few other remarks scattered here and there in the corpus. And he's going to deal with essentially two main topics: the nature of justice, what is justice, and then because of the way he understands justice, we also have to think about the usefulness of justice and why is justice useful? How does usefulness fit in with this? And if we're thinking about this in terms of Epicurus as being a hedonist philosopher, as being, you know, one of the main articulators of hedonist theory, then you might say, well, why isn't he talking directly about pains and pleasure? We're going to see that he will talk a little bit about pain, but why isn't he focused on justice as, say, maximizing pleasure and minimizing pain or something like that? Why talk about usefulness? Well, you know, one reason is because unlike many of the other virtues or states of character, justice actually doesn't focus, in the ancient world at least, primarily on pain and pleasure. It is understood as something that has a value in its own right, or that has some sort of usefulness, some sort of profitableness, some sort of beneficial status for other things. Like, you know, you might say, well, it's good for society, or it's good for getting things done. And Epicurus does indeed have a view on justice very much like that. So let's start with the question, what is justice? Now, he tells us, and this is a very radical position, there never was, and by extension, there never is or will be anything like absolute justice, justice per se, justice in a simple way that applies across the board to everybody. Instead, what we find, he says, is natural justice that is arising within human communities, within human beings that are natural creatures. It's an expression of usefulness. He says it's an expression or a symbol of usefulness. Now, usefulness for what? Well, primarily for preventing people from harming other people or from being harmed. So there's already a kind of reciprocity in there. You can talk about justice within, say, a friendship or within a family or within a military troop. You can also talk about it as within a whole society as well. And Epicurus has all these sorts of things in mind. So this is the primary purpose of justice. Justice, understood in a sort of broad sense, is something that is useful for keeping the peace, keeping us from harming each other, keeping us from being harmed by other people. There's a kind of trade-off there. So he goes so far as to say that justice really depends on a kind of agreement. So many people have seen in Epicurus a early formulation of what's called social contract theory, where either in an explicit way or in some sort of implicit way, people get together within a society and they say, look, how can we actually live together? How can we keep ourselves from being harmed from each other, given that, you know, we have tendencies to do things that we know aren't right, to steal, to lie, to cheat, to injure. I'll make an agreement with you, and you make an agreement with me not to do these sorts of things, and then we'll have to have some sort of authority who can actually enforce this rule, or perhaps will enforce the rule. There's a lot of different variations on this. And Epicurus doesn't worry too much about which particular variation we're going to have, but he does say it stems from a mutual agreement with fellow human beings in society not to harm each other, not to do things that are going to create problems for each other. He also goes so far as to say that it varies by application in laws of specific communities. So what is just in one community and is enshrined in the laws there may not in fact be just in another community or even in the laws there. There could be laws that if you go from one community to another community seem to contradict each other. And for Epicurus, that's not a problem because there isn't any single standard of justice across the board that gives you laws in a strict sense that says this must be the case in all cases. You will find some regularities. If you don't have some way of regulating violence, who is allowed to use violence in what situations, who's allowed to use deadly force, well, then you're going to have, you know, a lot of people harming each other. There's almost always some rules about sexuality, who is allowed to do what with whom. There's almost always laws about property. But the exact laws, the specifics of them, are going to vary from community to community, depending on what they actually find useful. And what may be useful in one time, in one culture, in one set of circumstances, may not actually be useful later on. So Epicurus is quite all right with the notion of revising laws. It's not as if once you make a contract with everybody, if there is indeed a contract, he just says agreement, that you're stuck with it once and for all time. You can't change it at all. Epicurus says, no, you know, this is over here at the usefulness part. When the laws cease to be useful, they don't express justice anymore. That is the purpose of the laws, to express and to articulate and to give us some guidance about what is actually just. But it's going to be particularized to the community to which one belongs. So if you're moving from one community to another, if you're moving, say, from Corinth to Rome, you know, that old expression, when in Rome, do as the Romans do, Epicurus would say exactly right. If the Romans have some laws and they're good laws on the books about something that the Corinthians, you know, the Romans forbid something that the Corinthians allow, well, if you're in Rome, then to be just means to follow those rules. Not because simply law is you know, good in and of itself, but because law enshrines this mutual agreement that keeps us from harming each other. So that leads to this question of usefulness. Why is justice useful? Why is it something that is beneficial to us? And there's three main things that Epicurus talks about. I'm actually going to start with this bottom one here, since we began with thinking about society. Or there's four, I'm sorry. He says, when the laws are no longer useful, the laws are no longer just. They no longer express justice. This shouldn't be a surprise to us, he thinks. If we get upset about this sort of thing, we say, look, the law back in 1789 was against this, and look, people are doing that now. We can say, well, is it actually harming anyone for them to do that activity now? Maybe the people back then were somehow harmed by it, but we're not anymore, so we can take that law off the books. Now, why is justice useful in a personal sense? Here we start getting to questions of pleasure and pain and the freedom from pain that constitutes a certain kind of pleasure. So Epicurus says justice provides pleasure and it prevents pain. It really doesn't provide much pleasure in and of itself. You might think of it as sort of facilitating the conditions under which pleasure can occur, but it certainly does prevent pain. Now, it prevents pain in multiple ways, right? In one way, it keeps other people from harming us, so we can live securely with other people, and it keeps us from doing that too if we abide by the rules. So that's important. If we want to enjoy a good life, we need some sort of norms governing them that we can live according to, that aren't, you know, too oppressive or too onerous, but which we can say, yeah, that makes sense. We should go along with that. I know that my feelings might make me go this way, but the law says this, so I'm going to follow the law. We count on other people doing the same thing. So justice keeps us from being harmed, right? Epicurus also says, and this might be a bit more debatable if we think about, say, sociopaths, right? The person who violates the norms of justice, the agreement, always has to feel fear or worry about being detected. And he's not just concerned about justice in terms of the legal system. He's also, like in the Vatican sayings, he says, look, don't do anything that you would be ashamed of your neighbors finding out if, you know, it came to light. That's also the same sort of thing. If you're doing the wrong thing and you know that it's the wrong thing, and maybe you say, well, it's to my advantage to do it, or, you know, I'm overcome by a desire, I'm kind of a greedy guy, so I take stuff that I'm not supposed to take, or, you know, when my neighbors lend me stuff, I don't return it to them, or I return it to them in a bad condition. Well, if you do that, Epicurus thinks that you're going to have a bad conscience. And that by itself, from a hedonist perspective, is a bad thing, because having a bad or guilty conscience means you're worried about people finding out. And you're also worried, if it's like legal justice, about punishment, or I suppose if it's personal interactions, about some sort of reprisal or shunning or something like that. So there's you know, two sides to this. There's the don't commit injustice, because then you're going to be on the outs with everybody else, and that will be painful for you. And do also commit justice. Do follow the norms of justice, precisely because you're hoping other people will do that. And when we all do that, we have a relatively pain-free existence. So that's where the usefulness of justice really lies for Epicurus. And that's what grounds the whole conception of justice. So when he's saying a person cannot live pleasantly without living prudently, well, and justly, this is what he means by living justly. And this is why he's saying that.
Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/Sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.